In most cases, you want to have a minimum of some randomized control trials or clinical trials that have been conducted that show some statistically significant effects. And whether that be a couple of quasi-experimental designs or multiple randomized control trials, those standards can differ depending on the organization supporting what they believe are evidence-based. But I think in the end, you just want to make sure that all of the evidence that you use is not necessarily just anecdotal, or it's evidence that could not stand up to other researchers and their argument against it. You want to make sure that there's compelling evidence that does indicate that in various different locations, that if you were to implement this intervention, that you could expect to see the same results that were supported in the other kinds of studies. So if it's just with smaller groups of students or groups that aren't representative, if it's an intervention that was employed in a location that is unique for some reason, and you don't see the connection with your own location or the types of students that you're trying to serve, it probably doesn't have sufficient evidence to lend itself to be an evidence-based practice. It's still probably in its experimental stage. So there's many considerations, but I think it is important to recognize that term is often used for a wide selection from very little evidence to very strong, compelling evidence, and you just have to be smart about the way you look into the background of an intervention and how compelling the information is that supports it.